The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So starting off our entertainment hour, as always on a Thursday, with the Unsigned Chart. It'll be followed by our movie reviews with Sky Keeble, and also look at the Strawberry Shorts Film Festival in Cambridge this weekend. So into the chart, we'll count down the five songs as voted for by you in the next few moments. Ahead of that, though, let's take a listen to this week's new entry. It comes from the indie alternative five-piece from Ely. They are the Holden Girls, and their song is a Western.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
That's rather good, don't you think? The Holden Girls, not a girl in the band either. It's called A Western. It's the new entry in the Unsigned Chart. Go up for the vote at Cambridge105.fm. But let's look at how last week's songs fared.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned Chart on 105 Drive.
So here we go then. Number five, Zach Thomas and Phoenix. Four, Tilly Dalgleish, Lonely Birds. Three, Flaming June, Rumpelstiltskin. Two, Music and Spies, In My Hands. And number one is Harry Seaton, Wildfire, which means that one of the two new entries we had up for the vote in the latest chart has got through. We'll hear from Harry in just a moment with a reminder that you can vote for your favourite song by going to cambridge105.fm/unsigned chart.
The Unsigned Chart on Cambridge 105.
You're heading to swim away, leave me in bitter haze. Always leave with burning desire.
spread like wildfire. Say what you need, just take what you want. Leave me to rest, my love is all burned. You that way, never knowing what you're heading to. Close your eyes, count to ten, just don't walk out again. Always leave with burning desire. Thoughts of you spread like wildfire. What you need, just take what you want. Leave me to rest, my love is all burned.
Harry Seaton, Wildfires, number one in our unsigned chart this week. Harry's actually got a new single coming up. It's called Summer Nights. That's in line with his Summer Nights tour, which starts in the next few weeks. He's going to be playing Norwich, London, Leeds, Manchester, Nottingham, Sheffield, Stockton, as well. I presume sooner or later he'll turn up in Cambridge too. So Harry Seaton, Wildfire, number one in the unsigned chart. And if you haven't made your choice for next week, got a whole 7 days to do so. Tim will reveal the chart at the midway point on Monday, just after 6 o'clock. He's sitting in for me for most of next week. Matt's in as well on the Wednesday. I have to, I'm off to Cologne for a few days for the day job. And then I'll be back with you on Friday. But of course, Tim will reveal the numbers that matter on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, as part of the new music generator. 105 Entertainment, 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. And we welcome Sky Keeble. Hello,
hi,
Sky.
Hiya.
And he said we welcome Sky Keeble back, but then I realised it was me who was away and not you.
Well, it's good to have you back. And yeah, I've been talking about The Hangover recently. The third of the trilogy now is upon us, directed again by Todd Phillips, starring Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, Zach Galifianakis and Justin Bartha. Here's a clip.
I can't believe my daddy is dead. I can think of so many people I would rather have died first, like my mother.
Apparently, Alan's been off his meds for almost 6 months.
Oh, God. Look at him now.
We're all here to tell you about an awesome place called New Horizons.
That does sound awesome.
Alan, this is an intervention.
We drive you there today, and I promise you will come back a changed man.
You going, Phil?
I love you, Alan.
Leslie Chow stole $21 million from me. And I figure the Wolf Pack has the best chance of finding him.
No!
Doug is my insurance.
Can you take Stu instead?
I got this strange email. I think it might be from Chow.
Fatty, I'm close by. Tell no one.
Chow. This says Chow.
How did you not know this was from Chow?
At the time, I thought it was Chow like goodbye. You know, like Chow, arrivederci.
Papa John.
Ah! Hey, fat stuff. Quick, give me some sugar.
Did he just kiss him?
What are you doing here?
Same old, same old. Ooh, I got into cockfighting.
Oh, cockfighting. That sounds wonderful.
Oh, stay still. I'm trying to help.
Are you out of your mind?
You ready to do this?
Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing?
Hey, Phil, kick yourself out a little bit.
Alan. You get it?
We can't be friends anymore.
When we get together, bad things happen and people get hurt.
Some of the music in there by an Australian band by the name of Apple Tree. Have you heard of those?
I did not know that.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Well, this one, I've obviously, it was a difficult third one. They thought, let's wrap it up. But they take it in a slightly different direction this one.
So for those people who don't know the Hangover mm-hmm. series, and I guess this is one of these things where probably most people other than me do know it.
Yes.
What's the sort of the basic plot in this? What does the title say at all?
The first one was the Bachelor, the stag do in Vegas, where they get horrendously drunk, but one of the guys who's a little bit loopy drugs them all, and they can't remember what happened the night before. So they have to retrace their steps, and lots of comic situations come out of that. The second one, one of the other guys gets married, but they lose someone in Bangkok, have to go find him. But again, this is whilst they're hungover. But actually, there is no hangover in the third Hangover. They are all pretty much sober, and it's dealing with the consequences of their chance meeting with Chow in the first one that causes their current situation. But you've got Stu, Phil and Alan and Doug all back for this one, and a few of the previous cast. So it's got some funny moments, but it just felt it was taking a darker tone compared to the others, where it was, you know, it was funny, they're hungover, they've done some drunken silly things, but this one seems as a bit more element of danger, and it didn't rub off on me.
I wonder if, though, this is a case, sometimes you hear a band and the band will continue for a number of years and their songs will evolve, or at least they'll evolve as far as the band are concerned, but not necessarily that of their audience. Are the producers here perhaps trying to do something that little bit different, take the characters further, when really what the audience wants is something that was akin to what they saw in Hangover 1?
Yeah, I think definitely with comedies, you go there expecting the same sort of thing. It's not going to be the Naked Gun or anything. It's not going to be that kind of series. If you've seen the previous two, I'd watch it just to say you've watched it. But for comedies, I don't think they should change the direction. Certainly not making it more black comedy than
comedy. It's interesting.
So.
In the 1970s, there were a few British comedies which were spun off from sitcoms at the time. Things like, you probably wouldn't have heard of actually, but On the Buses, Are You Being Served? I'm sure you'll be familiar with.
Yeah.
That had a film as well. And of course, in both of those, what the producers did was took the characters out of the situation which you were normally used to seeing them in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the films didn't do particularly well, I wonder why that was.
Yeah, well, I think it's been tried and tested, and you shouldn't change formulas like that, particularly in those sort of comedies. But if you want to catch it, it is on, and I've only got the times for Cineworld, but it's on at 7:45, and quarter past eight. Sorry, quarter to eight and quarter to nine. That's The Hangover Part 3.
Cambridge 105, community radio in your city, playing KT Tunstall. The song is Feel It All. 28 minutes past six. We've got Sky Keeble here, and just hovering outside is our next guest, and we'll be speaking to Simon Mullen from the Strawberry Shorts Film Festival in a little while's time. First of all, Sky is going to be looking at The Purge.
Indeed. Rated 15, this is one family's traumatic night when all crime is legal in this white knuckle ride of a sci-fi thriller.
We'll edit that bit out, don't worry.
People a release for all the hatred and violence that they keep up inside them.
Why don't you guys kill someone tonight?
Because we don't feel the need to, Johnny.
Just remember all the good the Purge does.
We'll be fine just like always, no worries, okay?
This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual Purge. At the siren, all emergency services will be suspended for 12 hours. Your government thanks you for your participation.
Help me! Someone, please, help me! I just need to keep someone safe. Does anybody hear me?
Let's go! This way!
Tony! No!
This way, hurry!
Why did you let him in our home? We have no idea who's after him.
Our target for this year's Purge is hiding in your home. You have 1 hour to find him and give him to us, or we'll kill all of you.
See, our new door entry system could be all like that, you know?
Indeed. So it's set in a new America of the future, where crime is at an all-time low. But this achievement comes at a price. Each year, citizens are permitted to let off steam for one night only in a cathartic orgy of criminality called The Purge. Anything goes, even murder. And this is about one well-off family tight in their secure, locked facility, their home. But it gets obviously an intruder, and it's a bit of a horror. So if you fans of like The Strangers and The Hunger Games will enjoy this.
I was thinking Panic Room from a few years back. Is it?
Yeah,
is it similarities
there?
Perhaps a little bit similar.
I can see that similarity. Yeah, it looks really interesting to be honest. Ethan Hawke's done a string of horror films recently, including Sinister. So I'm looking forward to it. So that will be out tomorrow, and you can watch it as early as 10 to 12, or there's even late showings at 5 past 11. Check all the cinema websites for latest listings.
Okay, which was your pick out of those two then? That and the Hangover, would be the one to see?
Well, I'm probably going to look at The Purge, but like I said, if you're fans of The Hangover, then go watch the third one, but don't expect it to be as good as the previous two.
Yeah, and I think The Purge is probably more my kind of thing. Mm. The cast didn't look that well known to me. When I just was looking through the trailer there, or am I just watching the wrong movies?
I guess, well, normally with horrors, they are normally the up-and-coming nameless, because you don't care if they get slaughtered. Like a lot of horrors.
Oh, I suppose, yes. I guess it's a bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger coming back as a goody in The Terminator. It's the second film. It's that sort of thing. If you're a big star, then unless you're British, of course, then you...
Of course. then you're definitely
the villain. Okay, any other bits and pieces going on that we should know about?
I think there's a lot of alternative content coming to cinemas at the moment. You can watch a lot of theatre, opera, ballet... On, I know there's going to be viewings of Swan Lake in 3D. There's going to be stuff live from Shakespeare's Globe, so you can watch Henry V, Twelfth Night, and think one of the other ones.
One of the other ones.
The other ones. He's done so many.
So Hamlet, Macbeth, Richard III, who cares? It's one of the others.
Exactly. And also, check out The Big Wedding if you haven't seen that yet. I think that's pretty much covered everything. And I'd say the big release is still to come, Man of Steel on the 14th of June, and also Despicable Me 2, June 28th.
Okay, Sky, thank you very much. As always, you're back. I'm not back here next week, but you will be, of course, and you'll be chatting to Tim, I think, about the movie releases then. Thanks very much, as always. I'm pleased to welcome another guest. It's Simon Mullen. He's one of the organisers of the Strawberry Shorts Film Festival. Sky is still here as well. And it is described as a fully competitive shorts film festival. And it's tomorrow? Is it across the weekend as well? Or
It's tomorrow evening in the Cambridge Festival Theatre.
Now, this is my first key question here. Until you got in touch, mm-hmm. I had no idea as to where the Cambridge Festival Theatre was. And it turns out it's only down the road from where I live, for heaven's sake.
Well, yes, it is. So it's centrally located. It's one of only four remaining pre-Victorian theatres in the UK. And it's very, very special. And it's right here in Cambridge.
And whereabouts is it?
It's on New Market Road. Basically, it's inside the Buddhist Centre. And we owe the Buddhists a huge debt of thanks for saving it and also restoring it. They've lovingly restored it. It's beautiful inside.
I guess if you want a theatre in safe hands, you can send it to a group of Buddhists, really. They're just the sort of people to look after these things, aren't they?
I would certainly recommend them, no. It's absolutely beautiful inside. It's got a deep audience pit. It's got two balconies and it's got a gods, right? The wall behind the stage has a name. It's called a cyclorama. The wall was built in the 1920s. And I can't describe how wonderful
when did it stop being a theatre?
It has never been a very successful theatre, ever.
So it had the architecture, but not the performance?
Well, it's the location and also the licensing. So the Cambridge University wouldn't permit it to be built any closer to the centre of town than it was. And this is about 200 years ago, right?
This is shortly after they made sure that the railway was out the way as well.
Oh, did they do that as well?
That's the reason why the railway is where it is.
Okay,
so they didn't like the rails, didn't like the theatres.
Well, hang on, get this. They didn't permit it to put on any productions during term time when the audience was there. So basically, it could only put a production on when the audience went home.
Oh dear, talk about town and gown. What a disaster.
So it's never been hugely successful as a theatre, and it's had all sorts of ad hoc uses. I think it was a Methodist sort of preaching centre for some time. And I think during that time, it had over 500 people in it. Now, obviously, our capacity is slightly less than 500 people.
So that's the theatre. Tell me about the shorts. What sort of films can people expect to see?
Okay, well, these are short films from all over the world. They're the latest and best short films from passionate filmmakers. They're comedy, drama, animation, documentary, even a little bit of horror from Spain.
What could you ask? I get the feeling that film shorts have kind of had a bit of a renaissance in recent years. I remember years ago, The Man with the Golden Gun came out. It was the big film in Colchester Odeon when they'd gone from one screen to three. It was all very exciting. And I've lined up there, ready to see the movie. And what did we get first? Woes of Golf. But now this is much more dramatic and encapsulated, isn't it?
Okay. You're absolutely right. There's just been a huge blossoming of short films. And I think basically the internet is to blame. So, not just for one reason, but I mean, first off, it conducts information to people. So basically, if you want to make a short film and you don't know where to start, go to Google and Google how to make a short film and read and digest and understand, and it'll teach you how to make a short film. Go to YouTube, look at the tutorials. And then also, you know, there are awesome video hosting services like Vimeo, not just YouTube.
Yes.
Check out Vimeo. Vimeo is the one that filmmakers like to host their films on. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's interesting. We had this morning, Neil had on 105 Breakfast, the broadcaster Trevor Dann. Trevor Dann, of course, responsible for the production of Live Aid and Whistle Test, the old grey Whistle Test, as was. He lives locally now. And Trevor made the point that these days it's a lot easier for young musicians to go and record in decent quality their music. And I'm wondering if technology, I think of the sort of things you can do on an Apple computer, other computers as well, the technology of the video camera, much more compact than it used
Absolutely.
To be. Is that a similar sort of effect which is helping filmmakers
and building
into these shorts?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. There is an element of that in that the technology is sort of much more affordable. Absolutely, totally. And also, you know, once you've actually got it in the can, you know, all you've got to do is have some time and a PC and you can create your masterpiece in your bedroom.
I guess also there's...
Total side issue. So I think 30 years ago, if you were a musician and you wanted to record an album, you needed a huge, great big studio that cost hundreds of thousands of pounds, staffed with technicians that basically did things that you didn't understand, right? And if you wrote a computer game, you were a geek in a bedroom, right? And 30 years later, it's completely the opposite way around. So if you're a musician, all you need to do is be in your bedroom with your laptop, right? And if you want to write a computer game, you need a huge, great big lab staffed with, you know, hundreds of thousands of technicians that do things that you don't understand that cost hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, and I think you're right.
Just, you know, it's just, it's got nothing very much to do with what you just said. It's something that amuses me.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very interesting point. The other thing about the development of film shorts, you're seeing people like Virgin and Orange supporting these things in the cinema. Does that sort of, does that help, or is that really just assisting those people who are already up there towards the top of their game?
I think it probably assists Virgin and Orange more than anything. But one of the
they seem to be doing some good works in the cinema field.
Yeah, I think you know, because it's only obviously they're only going to be screening so many short films, right? And there are a gazillion short filmmakers out there. I think one of the things that short films are calling cards, right? So people make them to demonstrate their kind of skill at making short films and, you know, use them as a stepping stone to go on to make feature films. So they absolutely sort of pour all their creativity and sort of thought into them.
You've got a good example. I wonder if somebody who's made a couple of few short films and then sort of made the step, if you like, into a longer feature, which is, other than become not necessarily commercially successful, but...
If you type Esther May Campbell, so... She submitted quite a few short films to us about 8 years ago, something.
Because
like
the festival's been going since 2001.
2000.
Right? 2000. That was a good guess from memory,
yeah,
wasn't it?
2000. 13th edition.
Yeah.
So Esther May Campbell submitted just awesome short films to us. I mean, really, really good. And she has really made it. So she's like quite an important director. At the BBC,
I've just done a Google of her, and I see what I presume is Esther May Campbell holding a BAFTA.
That'll be her.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, for instance, I don't know if you can find. Well, one of the things about short films is often you can't find them online. Now, after having said that, the internet is great for distributing short films. Actually, filmmakers often don't want to distribute their short films. Broadcast them online because it does totally devalue them, right? And one of the ways they use their short films is they submit them to short film festivals like our festival,
such as taking place tomorrow,
competitive festivals, and then as they rack up the prizes, they rack up the kudos and they move up the career ladder, right? Many film festivals will not accept films that are available on the internet. They just won't do it.
Cambridge 105, we are talking with Simon about the Cambridge Strawberry Shorts. I'm presuming the Strawberry Shorts Film Festival, the Strawberry bit, of course, comes from another event which is taking place this weekend.
Is there another event happening this weekend?
Well, yours happens first on Friday and then on the Saturday. Ours it's the delights of the Strawberry Fair.
Ours is the flagship event, I've got to say. Well, it is actually the flagship event of Strawberry Fair. So we start Strawberry Fair. We have the honour. and we come under the umbrella of Strawberry Fair, so we're Strawberry Shorts.
Makes sense to me. So tell me, what sort of, we sort of whizzed through the types of films. Maybe you could pick out a couple of highlights which are taking place tomorrow.
It so happens I brought the programme with me.
Very well prepared. Okay, that's what we like to hear.
So, like I said, first off, just to remind you, this is a competitive film festival with both audience and jury award. So the audience members basically get to vote on the best film. Right. So,
I didn't know. I saw the judges. I saw my friend Neil McCartney as one of people
absolutely.
Who's taking place.
Yeah.
There. He used to come to do the papers for me when I was doing Sunday breakfast, amongst other things.
So we had a film from India called The Jewel, and it's pretty awesome, I've got to say. I actually only realised what it was about 3 days ago. It's basically, it's like an onion and it's got layers in it. It's really, 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 really nice. When we decided that we were going to accept it, the subtitles were pretty awful, basically. So I mailed the filmmaker and said, we really want to accept this film, but you've got to improve the subtitles for us. And basically didn't hear anything from them for a week, and then they came back and he'd added a little bit of drop shadow to them.
Excellent.
Just a little bit, so now I could read them on my monitor.
Oh, sorry, I was, the way you were saying, I was thinking it would be grammatical problems with the subtitles.
we have had terrible spelling problems with the title of the film, because the film is called The Duel. But is it the duel as in the counterpart of another object, or is it a duel as in a fight?
Mm. Oh, is it an E? Is
both.
It an A? Okay.
It's actually both, right? And sort of that's kind of the nub of the plot of the film. Anyway, it's an awesome film. And then we've got things like Ham Story, which is just a wonderful animation, basically. I mean, I don't think I can describe it on air. And we have a film from Iran, The Theft, which is, it's got no dialogue in it. It's just short and sweet, like a short film should be.
And the length of a short film, you know, how long are they typically?
Well, typically they're about 7 minutes long, but in our programme they vary from between 2 minutes to 15 minutes.
Okay, so how many are you going to get through tomorrow night?
19.
19,
how
19.
How many were submitted?
A smidgen under 400.
Cool.
We have to watch all of them. And believe you me, when you start to watch them all, it's like, woohoo! And at the end of it, it's thank God it's over.
So there's people like Neil and yourself and the fellow judges presumably through the course of the year, whittling them all down?
We have a submissions panel that meets once a week, and we would sit down and watch them and then basically beef about them afterwards and mark them. And that's how it's done. We have a submissions panel.
Well, Simon, thank you very much indeed for coming in to tell us about that. Better finish. We need to tell people when and where.
Yes, we do. So it's the Strawberry Shorts Film Festival. It's a fully competitive film festival featuring short films, the latest and best from all over the world. And it's in the Cambridge Festival Theatre, which is on Newmarket Road.
We've got a number on the Newmarket Road, just for... I presume this is the bit over the roundabout, isn't
yes,
it, basically?
Yes, it's 38, and it's in the Cambridge Buddhist Centre. Thank you, Buddhists, for saving the Cambridge Festival Theatre.
Now they've done a grand job there.
Oh, and if you want to book tickets, go to our website, which gives all the details, which is cinema-shorts.org.
Ah, it's a nice simple one. cinema-shorts.org. That's fantastic. Simon Mullen from the Strawberry Shorts Film Festival.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.